My name is Johnny. I lead the team here in Bognor. It's a real privilege to do that. We're going to be in Matthew 5. So if you've got a Bible, do you want to turn there? Matthew 5. If you need a Bible, if you don't have a Bible because you just don't own one, pop your hand up. Someone will bring it to you and you can keep that. That's a free gift to you. You can enjoy that and read it for yourself, read who Jesus is for yourself. Over the past 2 weeks, we have begun a new preaching series, and we have been preaching on good news, as you can see here, and talking about how those two little symbols, I don't know if you can see them, the little icons that worship of God, the little man that does this, leads to proclamation. So it comes out, it's that sharing the good news is worship out of enjoying God's grace, and worship being the source of sharing our faith. And that is 100% true and 100% vital. And I want you to have that in everything I say today. I want you to have that at the back of your mind, because we'll be focusing a little more on our action, about what we can do as Christians, what Christians can do to share the gospel, rather than what drives us. Does that make sense? I'm going to be looking more at this symbol here than this symbol here. Does that make sense? That's what we're going to be doing this morning. And so before we get into that little anecdote, before I was a pastor, before I started working for Grace Church, I was a primary school teacher for 7-8 years, and it was proper fun. I tell you, there was some fun stuff that you get to teach. The best lesson, obviously, is PE. On a day like this, in the summer term, you go, let's go play rounders, and you're just standing in the sun, and kids are playing rounders. It was the best lesson. But another lesson I liked teaching was science. It was a fun lesson to teach, because what you do in primary school science is you set them a task or an experiment, and then they can just go and explore it for themselves. They go and do it themselves. And rarely are you bothered as a teacher. They don't really pester you. It's a lovely place to be in. I remember one lesson. I don't know what that tells you about me as a teacher there, does it? One task I set was, I gave each table a box, and I said, you have to make this box as dark as you possibly can. It was the best lesson for me, because they just were loving it. And so it was near SATs, so I'm like marking SATs papers while they're doing this little experiment. So I was working. It was really like, God, get the balance. And so they're rolling the blinds down. So they would get these types of blinds, like in the school. They roll them down. You've got kids under tables, and they've packed chairs around. Kids are creative, I tell you. And they're trying to make this box as dark as they possibly can. I remember some kids getting black permanent markers out. I did step in at that moment. But it was an epic lesson. And today, we're not looking at how dark we can make something. That's not what we're going to be looking at. We're not looking at making a box really, really dark. We're going to hear from Jesus. We're going to hear the words of Jesus about how Jesus' followers are called to model the opposite. How Jesus' followers are called not to be as dark as we possibly can, but to be as light as we possibly can. To be lights to people. So we are going to be reading a really long passage today. We're going to be reading one verse. That's all we're going to be focusing in and camping in on. So chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 16. Just for context, Jesus is doing his first sermon at this moment, his first sermon of teaching to people. And he's just finished explaining to his followers how they are to preserve and to flavor this world with his kindness, with his goodness. And he's used the examples of salt, and he's used the examples of light. And so before moving on to his next point in his sermon, this is what he says. And we sang a song earlier, Everyone Needs Compassion, Kindness of a Savior. The chorus to that is this verse. So we sang this verse earlier. So verse 16, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Because it's such a long chapter today. I'm going to read it again. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Unlike my science lesson on making a little cardboard box dark, Jesus' call to his disciples, to his followers, to Christians, is the opposite. He calls each one here today to be light. That's what he's calling us to. And so through the rest of the morning, we're going to break this verse down. We're going to do it chunk by chunk and just let the light of Christ challenge us. There's going to be some challenge this morning. Eilis spoke about God wanting to mature us. This is that kind of message. Yeah, God's wanting to mature us, and he wants to change us, to step out into shining his mercy to those around us. So I'm going to pray, and I told you it was going to make noise. I'm going to pray, and then we'll dive in. God, I just pray this morning, as we explore our light shining before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As we look at that, I just pray, will you change us? Will you ignite something fresh and new inside us? I pray, will we just step out in faith? Will we not step out in hype, but will we step out in faith and worship of you? I pray that we will not just be hearers of your word today, that as we explore this verse, we won't just hear it and go, oh, that'll do, but we will be doers. Will you make us doers? Will you make us your hands and feet, Jesus? Amen. Amen. So let's focus in that first bit. Let your light shine before others. There's something really interesting, and I don't know if you've caught it or not. Don't know if you spot it. Whose light is to shine? Whose light is it that's to shine? Let your light shine. Just before that, a couple of verses earlier, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You. So if you are a Christian in this room, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. If you were to read this passage in context, you would count five times in three verses that Jesus says you are or you're. Yeah? That he's wanting to push on us that we are, you, all of us in this room, are lights of the world. But what's interesting is what Jesus says, not in Matthew 5, but in John 8. In John 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So here he's saying, you are the light of the world. But in John 8, he's saying, I am the light of the world. So which one is it? Which one is it? And well, the simple answer is both. It is both. It's both of us. Let me explain. If you were to think of the moon, it's up in the sky at night, and it is really dull, right? It isn't a light source. It's just a big ball of rock. It doesn't do anything other than go round and round and round. It has no light source. It's a lightless rock in space. But what is it designed to do? It was designed to reflect the light that comes from the sun. That's why it's light at night. If there was no moon, it would be total darkness outside. Likewise, even though Jesus is the light of the world, he's no longer on earth physically, his light remains. We, if you're a Christian, yeah, we are his followers and we reflect his light. What we are to do is be like little moons, right? We absorb his good news. We absorb his presence. We absorb his Holy Spirit. We absorb his righteousness. We absorb his holiness. We absorb his glory. We absorb his majesty. And then we reflect those glorious truths to those around us. That's the job of a Christian. That's the role of a Christian. So yes, you, if you are sat here today, you in a Bognor school hall, you are the light of the world. You. Revel, just really think about that for just a moment, and then you can start to dig down and dig down and dig down, and it becomes more crazy the more we revel in it. That we, like, the fact that we have no light inside us at all. We were dead to sin. We were not light. There was no way we could be light. We weren't even moons that were spinning. We were just rocks in space. Jesus is the one who's brought us into orbit to go around him, to shine his light. See, it's just incredible the more you dig down into that. But where am I supposed to be this little moon? Where am I supposed to shine my light? Let's read. Let your light shine where? Before others. Before others, that phrase, before others, we can think, oh, it's just before there. Yeah, just over there, just before something else, or in a place of time. But that's not what this means. In the presence of. That's what it means. Not where we read before others, it's in the presence of. Our light is to be in the midst of other people we interact with. So we are to be lights in our staff rooms. We're to be lights in the mess of people's lives. We're to be lights where there is work conflict. We are to be lights in the messy marriages that we interact with. We are to be lights in the midst of where we are and where God has placed us. And how much? How much are we to shine before others? How much are we to shine as a church or individually? Well, Tim Keller says this about the church. If the church, if your church, so if Grace Church was to shut up shop today, if it was to be totally closed, never to exist again, would anyone notice? Man, that's challenging, isn't it? Would the community be in total uproar that Grace Church is closed because of how well it serves the poor, of how well it has dealt with injustice in the town of Bognor? Would Bognor really be bothered if we closed? And if we are honest and we really dug down, I think the answer is probably not. I think there might be a few upset mums. There might be people going, oh man, I've got to travel to Chichester to go to church. That's probably the extent of it. Just challenge us with that. I'm just challenging us. Like Ali said, it's mature us. We need to be going out. We need to be serving people. We want the community to be in uproar if Grace Church was to close because of how much we are serving the poor and those in need. It's what breaks God's heart. The honest answer is probably that people would not be bothered. And I just wanted to challenge us with that. Ilis, we had a leaders meeting on Sunday, and Ilis brought a word, it was about the church has been quiet over many years, sometimes for good reason. And the church has been afraid to challenge, and the church, the global church, not necessarily Grace Church, but the church has been struggling to make a noise and been quiet. And however, now is the time to get loud. Now is the time for Christians to get loud, to be light. If James, could you just switch those lights on for me really quickly? Right, you'll see why these lights are off, right? Yeah. Man, like everyone's going, oh man. Yeah, that you can turn them off, it's fine. Just to make the point, right? Lights, they can just be quite jarring sometimes, but you just your eyes widen. Literally, your pupils widen to allow more light in. There is something that happens. And so Christians, now is the time for Christians to be light to people. Light cannot be hidden. No matter how much I try and make it dark within my hands, no matter how much the kids in my class tried to make their little box really, really dark, they could not make it pitch black. Like Kim was saying, the gates of hell will not prevail. Light is bright. It can be disorientating, like it was when it suddenly comes on. But light is wonderful. Light is what gives life to all those trees out there. They get life because of light. They give us oxygen. They give us vitamin, is it B or D? I don't know what it is, that makes us have happy emotions. It provides warmth. It gives us warmth and life. Light is essential to life. Bognor, we are to be light. You are to be the light of the world. We're the ones to bring warmth and encouragement and serve the poor and the needy and change communities. We want to do it before, in the midst of others. That's what we're called to be. Just where what Andy shared this morning, how much are you shining your light to those you know? Where is God sending you? Where is your Samaria? Where is your Judea? Where's your Jerusalem that God is sending you? And some people today, you're probably like, I've heard a preach like this before. I've heard, yeah, God wants to love people and know people. And I know I'm meant to be a light to my family and my friends and my work colleagues. If that is remotely you, that's remotely me. So, yeah, if that is remotely you, then let's see what he goes on to say. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds. That's why. Yeah, and we often cover ourselves in so much grace that we ignore this. We ignore that line. We jump over it because it's a bit too legalistic. It's a bit too boastful. Yeah, we do need to be careful. Don't get me wrong. We need to be careful that we're not doing deeds for ourselves and all of that. But we need to take Jesus at his word. Let your light shine so people can see that you are different. So that people can see that you do nice things for other people. I heard Francis Chan on this once, and he explained how Christians, they do the opposite to the game Simon Says. So do you know the game Simon Says? I hope everyone does, because that would be sad if you didn't. Simon Says, pat your head, and you pat your head, yeah? Simon Says, touch your toes, touch your toes. But if Jesus says it, you just have to memorize it. If Jesus says it, you just memorize what he says. And then he goes on to give an example of asking your children to clean your room. So I've got 3 children, 2 of them share, 1 of them's got their own room. If I was to say to them, go clean your room, and then an hour later they come back and they go, I memorized what you said. You said, clean your room. I know it in Greek. Yeah, and or they said, yeah, we've invited some friends over and we're going to have a Bible study and we're going to really pray about what it would look like if I clean my room. Like, you laugh, that's us. Right, that is us. Yeah, I want to do good deeds. No. Don't just memorize this. Yeah, we don't memorize this. We want to be a light. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds. Where are your good deeds? When I meet Jesus in glory, he's not going to go, did you memorize Matthew 5:16? He's going to say, did you do it? It's a challenge for us, and it's jarring, but it's just, let's just be take God at his word. Where are your good deeds? Where are my good deeds? Right, this isn't guilt. I don't want to guilt you. Remember, it's worship that leads to sharing the gospel. But our good deeds, they are out of worship for God. But I just feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to challenge us, myself included, into thinking how much we are lights. How much are we lights? And then thinking about, like, what does the Bible say good deeds look like? I'm trying to now, let's land that. How can I live that out? How can I do that? Well, here are some verses to do rather than to memorize, okay? We've got Acts 13. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. Ooh, he's telling us to do something here. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, so those who don't know God, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Let's serve our community and see some people begin to follow Jesus. Amen? Amen? Where is God sending you? Who are those people that Joe mentioned 3-2-1 last week? 3-2-1 is not a replacement of Alpha or anything like that. But where is Jesus stirring your heart to say, oh, there's this app, it's called 3-2-1. I know that we've chatted a little bit about Jesus. Why don't you watch that and let's talk over some coffee? Oh, who is that person? Who is it that he's calling you to do that with? Ephesians 5, verse 8-9. For you were once in darkness. It's helpful to note. Yeah, we need to remember who we were so we don't get hypocritical as Christians. Remember who we are. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. How much are we living in the joy of being children of light? How much are we living in that? You can enjoy being in light by producing fruit of light in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And another one, James 1:27. Religion that our God our Father accepts is pure and faultless, and it is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Who are those in distress around you? Who is it that God is prompting you and placed you in? Who is in your midst in distress that you can just serve? And Joe was talking about loving people to Jesus. Who is it? Who is it that you can just serve and love unconditionally? Not for anything that you get back. Who is it? There is a broken Bognor that needs saving. There is a broken Bognor that needs serving. There are broken people who live next door to you. Who are you going to let your light shine on so they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven? Stop memorizing deeds and start doing some. Yeah, you could be asking, but what deeds can I do then? All right, I'm a new Christian. I'm not even a Christian yet. That might be you. And you're like, I'd like to help out somewhere. How? Well, here's some ways you can help at Bognor site level. Number one, next Saturday, we're going to wash some cars. Just come along and wash some cars. Yeah, you don't have to be amazing at it. You just need to grab a sponge and get the car wet. That's what we're going to be doing. Just going to serve our community. Simple serving of people and letting our light shine in the presence of other people. We want to get Ford Prison Ministry up and running again. Andy's going to get that going. If these are people in those places, they are who Jesus is associated with. Like, there's a challenge for you. Who are you going to go and associate with? If you're interested in that, chat to Andy. We've got a possibility of CAP Life Skills up and running again, where we teach those who are struggling through life and how to handle money and cooking and just how to deal with the pressures of life. Can you serve there? Can you serve in that area? Come and chat to me. We've got Little Bears. Little Bears, come and help Judith and her team. They're serving and supporting mums and dads with their babies and toddlers every single week. Come and serve them. Come just bless the community. I love Little Bears. I get to go every Thursday. It is such a privilege to chat to people and just seeing fruit from it. People coming to Jesus and knowing Jesus. It might be something new. What is it that is breaking your heart for this town and for this community, but you're just like, no, I don't think I should be doing that, and you're just putting it to the side? Let's get it rolling. Let's get it going. Where can you do grace works? Yeah, where can you have your deeds seen by others that point them towards Jesus? Yeah, so let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds, and finally, so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. The purpose of shining our light for others to see is not to see what a great church we are. It isn't to see, oh, I'm really holy, I'm really good, I do lots of stuff for charities. It's not the purpose. It's to glorify our Father in heaven. It's to make Jesus seen. It's to make him get all the glory and people come to know him. And you might be someone today, I don't know where you've come from, how you've come in, but you might have come in today and you're like, I don't really know this light you're talking about. I don't know what that is about. And you just might struggle with the idea of Jesus, or you might be new to it. And well, we're having a testimony every week during this series where people explain how they've come to know Jesus, how they've come to follow Christ. And today we're going to hear from Ola in a second. And he is somebody who did not know the light of Christ. And yet he heard it, and it changed and transformed his life. So we're going to hear from Ola on that.
I actually grew up as a Muslim. You know, and as a kid, went to Islamic school, learned all about that. But I guess seeing people around me, friends I had with all other religion, Muslim and Christianity and all of that, and I just, as a child, was just wondering that, could there be more? Is there, what is actually the real way to God? You know, and I think, if I remember quite correctly, I think at about age of 7-ish, I just thought, well, you know, I'm just going to pray to God. Lord, let me just know you. All I do is just want to know you and serve you. And yeah, fast forward some years afterwards, when I was in university, you know, I had friends, you know, that were Christians that I grew up with, and they've always asked me to come to the church, just come along to them. But I thought, as a Muslim, no, I shouldn't be found in a church. But one thing that has always bothered me, even as a Muslim, was like the idea of Trinity. You know, because my friends talk about God the Father, God the Son. I thought, well, as a Muslim, it teaches you just one God and all of that. So I guess one day my friends came to me and said, do you know what? We're having a conference and it's not going to be inside a church. It's just going to be outside with canopies, and people are coming all over the country to preach. So, yeah, this, even being a church, it would be an opportunity for you to come along with us. And I thought to myself, well, do you know what? If I'm going to get them off my back, they won't be the right time for me to just go and just get it done with. You know, little did I know that God had other plans for me. So this day we went in, and, you know, I just thought, okay, yeah, we're going to go to church, and then went there. And truly, it was outside in a canopy. And the preacher that was going to preach that day just came onto the pulpit, and he just stood there for a few good seconds. And he said, to be honest with you, there's a topic for this conference. I prepared for this topic. I've got all my notes here. But I feel that the Holy Spirit is telling me to preach about something completely different from what this topic is. So I'm just going to obey. So I'm going to pack the notes, they pound the notes together, put them aside. I said, this morning I'm just going to talk about Trinity. Wow. So when he started and he went into it, and he kind of did an expose on Trinity, and I guess the Holy Spirit started working in my heart. So by the time it was done, I was just sobbing on the stage, because it kind of opened up everything to me. You know, I just saw God as it truly was, as God, indeed the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and as one God as well. So by the time he finished and he made an altar call, and said, if anybody would like to give their life to Christ, I couldn't even stand up. I was so overwhelmed with the presence of God. All I could do was just raise my hand up and say, yes. And it came to me, people came around and said, yeah, do you want to become a Christian? Took me aside, prayed along with me. I said, well, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit now? I said, everything you've got, just give it to me. I was just, you know, just wanted to know more and more of this God. And they'll say, yeah, that's how I became a Christian. But obviously, like every walk with God, that was just the beginning. I wasn't always like this. You know, before I became a Christian, I was the kind of person that loves, you know, going to parties, keeping late nights with friends. And, well, I'll be the one to actually find out the parties for us to go to. But meeting with Christ actually changed, you know, my perspective. It kind of gave me a purpose, really. And I remember when I became a Christian, I thought to myself, I just have to kind of like separate myself from my friends. Otherwise, the influence, I was still a young baby Christian, and the influence, the things that, you know, that I tend to do before, would be easy for me to go back to doing them. But I thought to, you know, to separate myself from them. And I did that for a while. I really grounded myself in the Word of God and surrounded myself with other Christians. But what I'm trying to say here is meeting Christ changed my life, you know, because I was just easygoing, going live, having party. It doesn't matter. Life is just where it is. Until I find Christ, and then I found my purpose. And realize life, there's more to life than just living and having parties and just doing all sorts of things. And now, here I am at Grace Church, and years later, and hoping and praying for people as well to come to the knowledge of this God, of this relationship that I have, of this wonderful Father that we have. And I pray many more will hear this testimony and choose Christ.
Good stuff. It's good stuff. Amazing story. When people genuinely encounter God's light, when they genuinely encounter it, they don't see how great the church is. They don't see all they do really nice things, those Christians. They see Jesus. They see the beauty of the one in John 8. Who says, I am the light of the world, the one who makes us light of the world. And so to finish, the band are going to come up in a second, and I want to finish by showing you how light itself was God's plan from the beginning. It was God's plan and the beautiful encouragement that we have that our God is the light of the world. First couple of verses in the Bible says this, and God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw, what did he see about the light? The light was good. It was good. And God separated light from darkness. He separated it out. And then sin enters the world. The corruption of sin enters the world. And it messes up what good light looks like. It dims it a little bit. And so for the rest of the Old Testament, it's about God wanting to shine his light for all to see. And he's wanting people to see his light. And he's trying to use people to see his light. And yet they constantly fall short and fall short and fall short. And then Jesus comes at Christmas. And he reveals the true light of the world. Only for that good light on Good Friday to be snuffed out, what seems to be snuffed out. And then Easter Sunday, out of the tomb, arises the glorious light, the light that now will shine brighter than ever, that just like back in Genesis, we see that the light is good, we see it is hope. It shines brighter than it ever does, and it puts a call on us, the church, to spread this light, to share this light, to know this light deeper for ourselves. And then we look forward. We look forward past Matthew 5. We look forward where it will be fulfilled, that no longer will God will not need us in future to be little moons which shine light. He's not going to need us to be reflecting the light of Christ, because Christ will return one day and all his glory will be seen. And this is what Revelation says about it. And night, that's darkness and sin, will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun. There's no need for our good deeds, no need for us to be little moons, because the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever and ever. Light was God's plan from the beginning. And he is just saying, come on board, join in. Join in being light with me. What a privilege we have. From day one in creation, God's plan was to bring light into darkness. And through Jesus, he has done so. And we get to revel in the beauty and the goodness of that. Until that day, we worship him and we enjoy him by letting our light shine out before others so they may see our good deeds, so that they point to our God who is the light of the world. And we're gonna celebrate that now through taking communion. We're going to take communion together. So if you're a Christian, this is for you. We've got some bread, gluten-free there as well. And so what I want you to do, go and grab a little cup of juice, wine, and grab a piece of bread and bring it back to your seat. And we're gonna take this together. We're going to have a moment together. This is a shining light moment. So why don't we stand, head over there. The band will play a little bit. And then when we come back, we'll take communion together. Come back to their seat. I want you to get in a posture that you feel comfortable with. It might be sitting down, might be on your knees, it might be standing up. I don't know. But this is often we think communion is between us and God, which it is definitely that. But there is also a moment where we are taking together. And I just, while I was preparing, I just felt an image to get in your mind that there are churches all over our country, all over the world, who are taking communion at a similar time to us. And just how bright that is. I want you just to picture how bright that is as we take communion together. You need to close your eyes to help you picture that. But that's what's happening, that there is other Christians, some who are persecuted for their faith, some who are doing it in hiding, some who are like us, able to meet together freely on a Sunday morning. But God is meeting people in this moment. So let's just enjoy taking this communion together and just imagining as we eat, as we bite, as we drink, that actually this is a moment where light is shining. Light is being seen. Light is even being felt. So let's take the bread. So we eat the bread now. So thankful for your body broken. Without it, we would not be anywhere near light. We would be in total darkness. We bring nothing to the table. And let's take the juice, the wine. Just remember your blood spilled so we can know the light of Christ. We can enjoy the light of Christ. And again, while I was preparing, I felt that there are some people this morning, and there is a call to you where you feel like you have dimmed, you've gone. You've lost your brightness. You've lost your even a spark. And you feel like you're at the end of a candle wick. And that there is a moment now for you to recommit. I just feel there is a commitment moment, maybe for the first time, maybe a recommitment moment where you are just coming and saying, God, I am so sorry. I'm sorry where I've made it about myself, where I've memorized rather than acted. If that's you, won't you pray along with me? And if everyone in the room could just close their eyes, just to be sensitive to those around them as I pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your grace to us. Lord, I'm sorry where I have just thought, I just need to memorize. You challenge us today to act. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to remember your grace, which will stir me to action for you. Stir it in us. And I pray that you'll just touch our hearts to serve this community. Break our hearts, God, for what breaks yours. And I do pray as well for those in the room who would say, I don't really know this light, but I'd like to know it. That's you. Why don't you just join me as I pray? God, I don't fully understand. I don't fully know, but I want to know this light more. I want to know this light better. I want to know it deeper in my soul and in my heart. I pray, Lord, that you reveal it to me now. I want to commit my life to you. I want to commit to say, I want to follow this light. I want to know this light and live for it. Be a little moon that just shines a bit of his light as best as I can. Do that in my heart. If you prayed that, why don't you come and chat to me after? It'd be really good to talk and to know who's been here as well. We're going to sing a song. And again, whatever worship posture you want to be in, we're going to sing a song about Christ being light of the world. Come down into darkness. He's opened my eyes. Let me see. Then here I am. And then our response, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my God. Let's come to him now in worship.